going to start today at our daf is Yud Aleph. We're going to start at Yud Amubet. We talked about these words in parentheses. Michlal Zer Shavayir Svira Lehu B'Dibinisa Nivra HaOlam. Okay, so there's, like I said, there were certain versions that took these words out and certain versions that kept them in. What we were dealing with here was the machloket about whether Lahi Be'echat V'Shesh Me'ot Shana B'Rishon Be'echat L'Chodesh. Where it talks about the Mabul, that it was in the 601st year. Can we learn from there that one day is considered a year because it was the first day of the year? Or do we say, no, that really one year, one day is not considered a year, and that's why the Echad appears in the beginning of the Pasuk. And then we show where does Rabbi Elazar, who holds that it's 30 days, says that the 30 days is from a different place. He learns the 30 days out from the same pasuk, but a different way. He says, since one day here, it says Echad L'Chodesh, right? It says Barishon Be'Echad L'Chodesh. So what do we learn here? That the first is considered the first day of the month, and that a month with one day is already considered a month. So just like a month is to one day is to a month, likewise 30 days is to a year. So what we have here, if you remember, I'm just going to go back for 1 minute. This was all to show us the two different opinions about Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Elazar, whether one day is considered a year or 30 days is considered a year. And this connected with the Netiyot, about when the 30 days before Rosh Hashanah, that you're allowed to, that the, within the first 30 days before Tishrei, you're not allowed to work the fields. And then they tried to show, does that have to do with these 30 days and the one day that we're talking about? In the end, they say, no, those 30 days have to do with Tosefet Shvi'it. And then it's really Rabbi Meir's opinion who counts the 30th day also as the first day. And therefore, it's according to Rabbi Meir who says it's okay, because 30 days is enough, because 30 days already, then you have one day that's considered the year before. And that works then for Orla and for Shvi'it. And that was all to explain, what does it mean, Rosh Hashanah le'Orla, right? That Tishrei is the day where it's the cutoff point for these 30 days. Okay, now, again, there's two different ways of reading this. Either we're going to say that both of them must hold the B'nisa Nivra HaOlam, okay? Or, really this has, most of the opinions hold that this has nothing to do with these two opinions, of Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Elazar. But really what's going on here is since they brought in the Mabul as a proof text for some halakha, now we're going to discuss some other things that relate to the Mabul and dating, and really what we're going to get to at the very end is when did the Mabul happen? It's going to take us till the end of the daf to get there, but that's what they say the connection is. Since we're talking about the Mabul and the dating of the Mabul, now we're going to get to when did the Mabul happen? What month are we talking about? Was it in Nisan? Was it the first day of the first month? What day was that? And when the Mabul started, it started in the second month. We remember we said the second month of the year before. Was that Iyar or was it Cheshvan? Okay, and this relates to some issue with the constellations, which we're going to get to at the end of the daf. But to get there, they finally bring in this whole machloket that we've discussed already between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yoshua about which day the world was created. And we're going to see that it relates not only to which day the world was created, but all sorts of other things that come up dating-wise. Dates in the Bible. Tanya, Rabbi Elazar Omer, B'tishrei Nivra HaOlam. B'tishrei Noldu Avot. B'tishrei Metu Avot. You could say we'd have a better structure, right? B'tishrei Nivra HaOlam, Noldu Avot, Metu Avot, right here. Why does it say each one? In Tishrei this happened, in Tishrei that happened, in Tishrei that happened. So some of the Mefarshim explain that because each one has a different proof text, they're kind of separating by proof text, by what we need to prove. So first we're going to see, you can see the chart on the page, they have a machloket about various things, they agree about various things, and then they again have a machloket about the final thing. And then we're going to get to their proofs, okay? One by one, we're going to go through what are their proofs for each of these things. That's basically what we're doing today. That takes us to the end of the page. So Rabbi Elazar Omer, B'tishrei Nivra HaOlam, so the world was created in Tishrei. Now again, what does it mean it was created? Not that the first day of creation was Tishrei, but that the last day of creation was Tishrei. Where do we see this coming up in Halacha, or Minhag, you could say? So that brings us to Kaf Hei Be'elul, the world was created, okay? And then on the first of Tishrei, man was created, okay? It's the creation of man, which is really Hayom Harat Olam. When we say today the world was created, it means man was created. So man was created. First of all, this makes sense then. Why is Rosh Hashanah Yom HaDin? Because what happened on the first day man was created? He sinned. And then he needed to do Yom HaDin. Okay? So there was a Yom HaDin already on the first day of creation, and therefore we get judged. That's one way of looking at it. We're going to have to explain, according to the other opinion, why Rosh Hashanah is Yom HaDin. We'll get there. What else do you know about Kafei Be'elul? Kafei Be'elul, you know our minhag to start Slichot. When do we start Slichot? The Shabbat before? Okay, so according to one of the opinions, they pick the day that's closest to creation of the world, Kafei Be'elul, right? If Rosh Hashanah falls out on a Thursday, then Kafei Be'elul is Motzei, right? It's Motzei Shabbat, is that what's true? Kafei Be'elul, right? Motzei Shabbat, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, right? Okay, so Thursday then would be Rosh Hashanah. So if Kafei Be'elul is, so then they say, I forget exactly who says it, but I think the Ram brings it up. And then they say, because of that, then they then picked a Sunday, a Saturday night, because that was the first day of creation. So it's like you start for the first day of creation, like Sunday is a memorial to the first day of creation, but as close to Kafei Be'elul as possible. That's why if Rosh Hashanah is on a Thursday, we start Motzei Shabbat. If it's earlier in the week, then we have to start a week and a half before, because we need some more days there, right? But the idea of starting on Sunday is a commemoration of Maaseh Bereishit. It's one of the opinions. The Sephardim have a different thing. We're going to get to that, actually.
Well,
they have.
There's also a total of 10 days that it's supposed to be.
There's all different. Right? Yeah, there's 10 days. There's all sorts of different things. This is one of the explanations given. There's
right.
a lot of different
That's
explanations. The Sephardim start Rosh Chodesh Elul because Moshe Allah Har Sinai. And they do it based on when Moshe went to Har Sinai. That's a whole separate thing. Okay. They connect each of these. And there's different interpretations. Some go according to what Reza was saying, which is where we need yomim of slichot, and we need days where you can't fast, and we need all sorts of things. We need days you can fast, as opposed to some of the days where you can't fast, like Rosh Hashanah, you can't fast.
And you can't do Shabbat.
Right, you can't do Shabbat, and you want to have 10, you know, you want to have...
Where you can potentially fast.
Right, so that's one whole genre. And the other genre is based on historical events. So if you take the based on historical events, you have the Sephardim, which do Rosh Chodesh Elul, because that's when Moshe went up to the Har, to Har Sinai. And the Ashkenazim would take the historical event of Maaseh Bereishit, creation of the world. Okay, so now... B'tishrei noldu avot. Fathers were born. We're going to see that it really was only Avraham and Yaakov, because Yitzchak, we're going to see in a minute, wasn't born in Tishrei. B'tishrei metu avot. They also died in Tishrei. If you notice here, by the way, they don't give dates. They just say in Tishrei. It doesn't say the first of Tishrei or anything else. Here, all of a sudden, we get a date. B'pesach nolad Yitzchak. He was born on Pesach. B'Rosh Hashanah. Okay, again, instead, not Tishrei, but exactly on Rosh Hashanah. Nifkeda Sarah Rachel v'chana. Where do we see this? How do we know this?
In the Haftorah.
We dafka read the Torah reading in Haftorah of this because of this text. Okay, this text is the basis for that becomes the Torah reading on Rosh Hashanah. So their prayers were answered. Okay, that's what it means. Sarah, Rachel, and Chana, their prayers were answered on Rosh Hashanah. But Rosh Hashanah, Yatsa Yosef mi Beit Hasurim, he got out of jail on Rosh Hashanah also. But Rosh Hashanah, Betela Avodame Avotenu B'Mitzrayim. On Rosh Hashanah, this is actually very interesting. On Rosh Hashanah, the fathers, 6 months before the Geula, they already stopped working. Okay? They no longer had to work in Mitzrayim. Very interesting. You know what it sounds like? It sounds like what we just learned. Those 10 days from Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur, according to that opinion, the Yovel starts. Remember, Rabbi Shmuel ben Asher, Rabbi Yochanan ben Brocha, the Yovel starts, and they're no longer working. But they're also not free. There's this interim period. This also explains that there was an interim period. What they say here is that the judgment of the Mitzrim was 12 months. So a year before the Makot started, 6 months before the Jews were no longer Avadim, they were no longer working, but they obviously weren't free either. They couldn't leave. So, and then B'Nisan Nigalu. And in Nisan, they got out. It's actually interesting here that they say Nisan and they don't give a date, right? Here, obviously, we know the date. B'tishrei atidin ligael. But the future Geula is not going to be in Nisan. It's going to be in Tishrei. Okay. Rabbi Yoshua Omer. if you want to follow now, I made the chart to show which things they agree about and which things they disagree. You'll see most of the second section they all agree about. B'nisan nivra ha'olam. Okay, now his whole tfisa is everything happened in Nisan. B'nisan, the world was created. B'nisan nodu avot. The avot were born. Again, Avraham and Yaakov. B'nisan metu avot. B'pesach nolad Yitzchak. B'rosh Hashanah nifkeda Sarah Rachel v'chana. B'rosh Hashanah yatzah Yosef mi'beit Asurim. B'rosh Hashanah b'teila avodah mi'avotenu b'mitzrayim. B'nisan nigalu. And B'nisan atidin ligael. The future redemption here, they disagree. The future redemption is going to be in Nisan. So we have them agreeing about when Yitzchak was born, when the mothers, Sarah, Rachel, and Chana were answered, when Yosef came out of jail, and when the Avot stopped working. So the Avadim stopped working in Mitzrayim. So all those they agree about, that all happened on Rosh Hashanah, and that Yitzchak was born on Pesach, and the Geula, obviously, for Mitzrayim was in Nisan. But they disagree now about the future Geula and about the early events, about when the world was created, when the Avot were born, and when the Avot died. Now we're going to see all their proof texts for all of these things. Tanya. Here we quote a Braita to show us the source. Rabbi Elazar Omer, Minayin shebetishrei nivra ha'olam, sheneemar, vayomer Elohim, tadshe ha'aretz desha esev, mazria zera, eitz pri. Okay, it says, right, God planted crops that are going to grow, and fruit trees. Ezehu chodesh ha'aretz motzi'a desha'im v'ilan malei perot. What's the month where the land produces grass and the trees are full of fruits? Heve omer ze tishrei. That's when it's all full, right? In Nisan they start, but in Tishrei they're all full, right? This whole, by the way, both proof texts are going to take Maaseh Bereishit very literally, that when the world was created, it was created, and that was the season that's described, right? So here the pasuk says, eitz pri, fruit trees everywhere.
But what about other parts of the world that fruit different times?
No, they're generally
right.
Similar.
Well, first of all, they didn't know right. They weren't really talking about that here. It's hard to, I don't think that they really understood this literally. I think they're trying to find.
No, that's so. They may have.
They may have. They may have understood it literally.
The center of the world was Mesopotamia.
Right. So first of all, they look toward the center. This is the center. There's actually texts that talk about it. We're going to get to it in Ta'anit, where they talk about what about places that don't need rain when we need rain and it's the opposite. And
right.
They talk about places where
they knew
that there were some places where climates were different, but they generally focus on the center where they're living.
But they're also saying something else that's very interesting. I mean, technically, God could do whatever he wanted. I mean, he could plant the trees full of fruit in Cheshvan or whatever.
That's what I'm saying. They took it very literally. That's exactly what I was getting at. That we understand Briyat HaOlam more, some people
abstract.
Even say, right, more abstract. They're taking the Psukim very literally, exactly like we've been talking about this whole Masechet. They're trying to take psukim that are discussing events, and they're taking everything very literally. There must have been a system in place, and it must be every time they count, they're counting the exact same system, the exact same way, from the exact same time period.
Well, because they have a Masoret.
Right.
So if they have a Masoret, they're trying to base the Masoret on something.
Exactly.
So
that's what we discussed yesterday. That they're really
not based
it's
on
not that they're really learning it out from these psukim. They really know this to be the case. They have a Masoret about it, but they want to connect it to psukim because that's the way they.
But what they're doing that's kind of nice is that they're saying that it wasn't so mystical. It was real. Like Tishrei is when the stuff, that's why we know it's Tishrei. Like God started it on schedule that makes sense with nature.
Right.
So that's kind of nice, actually.
Okay. So now I'm actually going to bring in a theory after we learn this about someone who tries to explain this in a more abstract manner, what they're getting at. I don't know if I agree with everything he says, but I thought I would bring it in. So now what does he say? So eitz pri the ezu chodesh ha'aretz motziah desha'im v'ilam alei perot ve'yomer ze tishrei v'oto ha'perek. Now he's saying not only that, but it's not just that the ilan is malei perot. Zman rivi'ah haita, that was the time where the animals made it. Zman rivi'ah, no, that comes after. Zman rivi'ah is when the rains fall. It was the perfect time to create the world. It made perfect sense. God brings everything, and then the rains happen. And everything then grows. Shneamar, and you even see that in the pasuk. Right, this mist came up from the ground, and that's That's creation of the world. Rabbi Yoshua Omer, Minayin Shebenisa Nivra Ha'olam, Shene'emar, Batotze Ha'aretz. Now they're each quoting different Pesukim, right? The first Pesuk we quoted was from Bereshit Aleph, Pesuk Yud Aleph. This next Pesuk is going to be from Bereshit Aleph, Pesuk Yud Bet. What does it say there? Batotze Ha'aretz Desha Esev, Mazriya Zera, Ve'etz Ose Pri. Here it doesn't say Eitz Pri, it says Eitz that is making a Pri. Ezehu Chodesh, Ha'aretz Mele'a Deshaim, V'ha'ilam Motzi Perot. Heve Omer Zen Nisan. Nisan is when they start to bring out fruits. Voto Perek Zman Behema V'chaya Ve'ov Shemizdev Gim Zeim Ze'etzel Ze. It's the mating season. How do we know that? Remember this? Shenemar Lavshu Karim Hatzon. Remember, and then they quoted the Psukim, and then the water, the Karim, the Son were wearing Karim like pillows. They were pregnant, and then the rest of the pasuk was Ba'amakim Yatfu Bar Yitro'u Af Yashiru. And they said, what's the time Yitro'u Af Yashiru? When they start to dry out after the rainy season, and then when they sway against each other, they make noise. So that's the proof that it happened in Nisan. And that right after that was the time that they made it. That was the following month in Iyar. V'idach Nami. Now we're going to have to explain, how does everybody relate to the pasuk of the other guy? Okay, that's in the second part of this chart over here about Nivra Ha'olam. So first they each bring their pasuk, and then what does each one do with the other pasuk? So they say, V'idach Nami, and the other guy, Haktiv Etzo Sepri. So what does he say about Etzo Sepri? Okay, that's Rabbi Eliezer. He says, Ahu Libracha Lidorotu. Okay, it's a bracha lidorot. Lidorotu dichtiv. It's written as a bracha lidorot that in the future the etzim will also make fruits. In other words, now the etzim have fruits, and in the future they're going to be able to make fruits. That was the bracha. V'idach nami haktiv etz pri. How do you explain this? It says etz pri is if they were all full of perot. Hahu k'di Rabbi Yosho ben Levi d'am Rabbi Yosho ben Levi koma sebreshit le. I forgot what the word here is. I hear bikomatan nivreu. Lidatan nivru, litzivyonan nivru. It's a very interesting statement. What does he say? Everything that was created in the world, right? A maaseh bereshit, it was created bikomatan, at full height, right? We never think about Adam Harishon being created as an infant, right? Because he was created already at full height. Okay, lidatan nivru, already with their deot and their opinions, with knowledge, and litzivyonan nivru. Shne'amar vayichulo ha'ar shamayim va'aretz v'chol tzva'am al tekret tzivaam elat tzivyonam. What is tzivyon? We know that word in Hebrew. They use it a lot. Each one has its own unique nature to it, right? Everything was created with its own stamp of uniqueness. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, minayin shebetishrei noldu avot. Okay, so he basically explains that that's what Eitz Pri comes to teach. Eitz Pri comes to teach that each thing was unique in its own way. So right, how do you get that from Eitz Pri exactly? So Rashi says, Hainu Eitz Pri. Right. It was already with fruits on it. It doesn't mean it was full of fruits, but it already, right, you plant a tree, usually it's just a seed. Till it grows, it takes a lot of years. So what they're saying is the trees were created as fruit trees, ready in their grandeur, right, their height, but they still weren't full of perot. They were just starting out in Nisan. Okay, Rabbi Lazar Omer, Minayin Shebetishrei Noldu Avot. Now we're moving on to the Avot. Shene'emar, Vayikalu El HaMelech Shlomo Kol Ish Yisrael B'Yerach Ha'etanim. Here we have the pasuk about the Beit HaMikdash, when they're dedicating the Beit HaMikdash. Everybody comes B'Yerach Ha'etanim, B'Chag. Okay, what's Chag? Chag is Sukkot. So what's Yerach Ha'etanim? Why is it called Yerach Ha'etanim? Yerach means month, from Yerach. Yerach Shenolabo Etanei Olam. It was when all the great people, the strong people, were born. Right? The word I thought of the closest is in America, the founding fathers. Right? Etan is strong, foundation. Right? That's the founding fathers. Okay? So it's the month that they were all born. So what is it when it happened in Tishrei? They called Tishrei Yerach Ha'etanim. Why is it called Yerach Ha'etanim? It must be because all the founding fathers were born in, right? All the Avot were born in that month. My mashma de haitan lishna de tekifehu. How do you know that etan is strong? Kedichtiv etan moshavcha, because it says your where you sit should be where you dwell will be strong. Va'omer shim uharim et riv Hashem, va'etanim moste aretz. The mountains will hear the riv of God, and the etanim, which is parallel to the mountains, okay, will be the moste aretz. They're supporting the world. They're the basis for the world. And va'omer. So that shows the harim are like etanim. Okay, it's basically another word for mountains, strong mountains. But then it says, "Va'omer kol dodi hine zeba medaleg al haharim mekabetz al hagavaot." So that famous pasuk of kol dodi hine zeba, right? Where is it coming from? It's jumping, right? It's skipping the mountains and jumping on the gavaot. Now, obviously, what they're saying here is the harim are like the etanim. And how do they explain the harim? What does it mean? Medaleg al haharim bizchut avot. How is the Dodi jumping from mountain to mountain? Where does he get his strength from? From Avot. V'mekapetz al hagvaot bizchut imahot. So you see here that Harim is like Eitan, and Eitan connects, right? The Harim connects to Avot, so it must be Avot or Eitan. Rabbi Yoshua omer minayin shebe Nisan noldu ha'avot. Here we have, not in Tishrei, but they were born in Nisan. Shene'emar, okay, here we're again in Shlomo. It's interesting that they're using the proof text, all of Shlomo and the Chanukah Beit HaMikdash, to prove these psukim. We learned this pasuk already. Remember we said, what's this Chodesh Ziv? They said it was Iyar. So what's Chodesh Ziv? What is Ziv Tanei Olam? What is Ziv? It's when you shine and you shine your glory on other people. So it's the month. Now here you have to explain. It's the month, right? It's Iyar. And he wants to prove Nisan. So it's saying he did this B'chodesh Ziv, which is the month that already were born the Ziv Tanei Olam, those who shone their light on all the other people. So it was the month right after, right after that happened. So now they have to explain what each one says about the other.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Sorry, quickly. Is there a hierarchy of sources? Like if you have a source from the Torah, is that like better than, it should be better than Tehillim or better than the, is there like, is a source
So it
stronger?
Depends what we're talking about. If we're talking about halacha, then yeah, that's, if there's a disagreement, definitely you would, they'll always prefer to use, when it comes to halacha, a pasuk from the Torah. If it comes to proving things like this, I'm not so sure there's such a hierarchy. Because this isn't halacha. This is trying to find a smach within the Torah for dates and for when things happen. I'm not so sure that a Torah... Again,
so
if you had
poetic,
a Torah proof, it might
could,
be better.
You could like interpret it so differently.
Well, that's exactly why they are interpreting it differently. Well, these actually aren't from Tehillim. These are from Melachim. Right? These
some,
are the proof texts. Right, some of them
are
from Tehillim. Right, right. Yeah, I think you are always better finding a pasuk from the Torah, but they definitely, even for halacha, they'll use psukim from the Nevi'im and the Ketuvim.
Mm-hmm.
We have recently where it said, "Bidivrei Kabbalah lamanu," right? And then they quoted psukim from the Ketuvim, which usually Divrei Kabbalah means from the Nevi'im, but there they even use Ketuvim. So I don't think there's necessarily a clear, again, it all depends what you're doing. Here, they're not exactly, they're not only are they not deriving halacha, they're deriving history, right, dates, but it's not even that they're deriving. It's like we said, they're trying to connect back to, that's why my sense is that there's some broader idea underneath that's motivating them to say what they're saying. I'm not convinced I know what the broader idea is under it, behind it all. There's different theories given. Again, we talked in the past about Nisan being the specific to Bnei Israel holiday month, whereas Tishrei is a more universal month. You can talk about that and whether they were born Nisan means that they were meant to be just for the Jews, right? If they're born in Tishrei, you could take it more universally. The other theory I saw, which I can already bring up now if we're discussing it, is, I forgot the name and I left the article in the other room, but I found an article, I think it was on the Haaretzion website, about that Tishrei, that the description of Rabbi Eliezer is that everything, the world was created in perfect form. Meaning that there's really nowhere to go from there. Like, it's perfect as it is. the avot are rocks, right? They're you're so dope. They're mountains. They are the ideal, right? And then there's a little bit less, you know, of where's our part in things. He's stressing sort of the perfection of the creation of the world. Whereas Rabbi Yeshua is really talking about what happens in Nisan. It's exactly the middle. First of all, it's clear, by the way, here that they're not just using themes like I said about universal and individual for B'nai Israel. They're also using agricultural, you know, it goes without saying, because agriculture ran their life. So they're using all sorts of agricultural images and mating of animals, which we relate less to, but in those days they related much more to. But what happens there, right? In Rabbi Yeshua's world, what are the avot? They're shedding light on the world. But they're not the perfection. They're just shedding light for people to do their thing. And Nisan is a time when you're in the middle of the agricultural cycle. Yes, things start growing and you've planted, but you still have a ways to go. You still have to reap all the fields. You have a lot of work to do still. And that the world was created in a stage where, okay, now you gotta pitch in and get moving. You can't just let it go right now. You really have to do your part. So he had a theory about, there's a few glitches here and there in his theory, but there's some distinction there, some conceptual distinction between Tishrei, whereas everything's kind of finished. And then, you know, obviously, once it's finished and perfect, you still have to start the next cycle. It's still cyclical. It's not like it's always perfect and it stays in that perfection. But I guess maybe our job is to preserve that perfection. And Rabbi Yeshua is saying, no, we have to take where it's at and strive to make it perfect, but not that we're starting with perfection, which I think we can relate to a little better. Anyway, I thought that was an interesting theory. Okay, there's a lot of different theories given about this. You can look them up and read up about them. Okay, so now, if the guy who says that it was Ziv, right, the B'chodesh Ziv comes to prove that it was Iyar, which came after Nisan. So what does he do with B'Yerach Etanim? So what is Yerach Etanim? Hatan T'kipe B'mitzvot. What's Yerach Etanim? Tishrei. Why is it the month of strength? Because we're full of mitzvot. It's the holiday, it's the month with the most holidays, the most mitzvot, etc. V'idach Nami, and the other opinion, Hakti B'chodesh Ziv. So what does he do with that? Hahu D'it B'ziva Le'ilane. That's an agricultural thing. That's the time where it shines down on the trees and the trees start growing. The Amar of Yehuda, Haiman de Nafit B'yome Nisan. Here we have Berkata Ilanot. Okay, and you see that he's saying that's what Ziv is. When you go out in the days of Nisan, the Chaze Ilane de Melav Leve, and you see the trees budding, Omer Baruch Shalochi Serme Olamot Klum, Ubarab Bro Briot Tavot, Ilanot Tavot, Lihit Na'ot Bahem B'nei Adam. What are the trees for? They're to make man look beautiful, right? For man to appreciate them and to enjoy them. So the trees are, it's the time when the trees are shedding their light on people. They're looking beautiful for people. Okay, just to stop here for a minute, I want to get back to what I said before. If you say that Kafei Be'elul is the day of creation, and therefore Aleph B'Tishrei was when man was created, so Yom Hadin makes perfect sense because that was the day that Adam HaRishon was judged. If you say that B'Nisan Nivra HaOlam, then how do you have Rosh Hashanah being number one, Rosh Hashanah, and forget, if maybe he didn't call it Rosh Hashanah, but it's Yom HaDin, right? Again, Yom HaDin doesn't appear in the text of the Torah. So, but again, it was Nitfas clearly. I'm sure he held also that it was Yom HaDin. So why is it Yom HaDin? So there you'd have to say, because it's before Yom Kippur. In other words, Yom Kippur, there was a Masoreth that that's the day of Slicha, and that comes from, that was the day that B'nai Israel got forgiven from Chet HaEgel. And because of that, you know, because of, right, it's either going back to Adam HaRishon or it's going to Chet HaEgel. If you say it was Chet HaEgel and then Yom Kippur became the Yom of Slicha, so Yom HaDin precludes, right, it comes before the Yom of Slicha. So then you'd have to look at it in that way and not because it was the first day the world was created. We're so used to saying Rosh Hashanah was the day the world was created. You know, again, that distinction fits very well into this universal versus B'nai Israel, right? If it's a universal day, then Rosh Hashanah is a universal day because the world was created that day, and Yom Kippur goes with it. If you say that it's because of Chet HaEgel, so that clearly was a Jewish event, right? Unique to the Jewish people, and then that becomes our day, unique to us. As you see in our tefillot, This is a whole other thing, but our tefillot and Rosh Hashanah, the basic tefillah, is really about the whole world. Right? It's a very universal day according to our tefillot. But in the time, and then maybe we'll get to this when we see some of the Mishnah that talk about the tefillot, but even then there were people who still viewed it as specifically to Bnei Israel. Okay? Like we say the bracha, Melech HaKol HaAretz Mekadesh Yisrael VaHazmanim. Right? Melech HaKol HaAretz. That's the main bracha that we're adding. He's Melech HaKol HaAretz. But there were some tefillot that really focused on the Jewish people's part in it. Okay, we can maybe get to it another time. Okay, so now, how do we know? So we've proven Nivra HaOlam. We've proven Noldu HaAvot. Now we have to get to Metu HaAvot. This is going to be the same proof text for both, because the death is going to be connected to the birth. Whenever you say the birth happened, that's when you say the death happened. How do we know that? Manda amar b'nisan noldu b'nisan metu. Manda amar b'tishrei noldu b'tishrei metu. Right? Those who say they were born in Nisan, they died in Nisan. And those who say they were born in Tishrei, they died in Tishrei. Shenemar. Vayomar alehem b'mea v'esrim shana anochi hayom. Okay, who says this? Moshe Rabbeinu. He says, I am 120 days old today. Now, why does he have to say today? She'ein tamud lomar hayom. Why? He didn't need to say today. Obviously, he was talking about today. Uma tamud lomar hayom. Hayom mil'u yamai yishnotai. Okay? Today is my birthday. L'lamdecha shakadosh baruch hu yoshev u'memale shnotehem shal tzadikim miyom liyom mechodesh lechodesh. God makes it that the people died on the day they were born. This is where we have the Masoret, that Moshe was born on Zion Adar and died on Zion Adar. He died the same day he was born. And they say it must be also the Avot were like that. Whenever they were born, that's when they died. Shneemar mispar yamecha amale. Mispar yamecha amale. Okay, that's a pasuk that doesn't have to do with that. It's a pasuk that comes from, it's in Shmot Kaf Gimel. It says, lo tiyeh mashakela v'akara ba'artzecha et mispar yamecha amale. There won't be akarot in your land, barren women, and mispar yamecha amale, and I will fill your days entirely. So here they explain, what does it mean? You will die when you were born. Bepesach nolad Yitzchak min alam. Where do we know that Yitzchak was born on Pesach? Kidichtiv lamoed ashuv elecha. Okay, now I don't know how you've learned this pasuk. I was learned this pasuk lamoed ashuv elecha. When is that? When the malachim come to Sarah and Abraham and Sarah, they say lamoed ashuv elecha. Most people explain exactly a year later. This text does not understand it that way. Okay, these midrashim say, and now we're going to have an interesting lesson in the gestation period for a woman. Lamoed ashuv elecha emat kai. What is lamoed? The next holiday. Okay, it's a little problematic, right? There's no spread of 9 months between holidays. So they say, when could that be? Emat kai. When could that possibly be? Ilema bepesach v'ka'amar leba atzeret b'chamishim yom mika yalda. If you say that it happened on Pesach, and then the next holiday was Atzeret, so in 50 days she's going to have a baby. Ela dekai ba'atzeret, maybe they were standing on Atzeret in Shavuot, v'ka'amar le b'tishrei. That also doesn't work. Akate b'chamisha yarchei mikayalda, that's only 5 months if you're going from Shavuot to Rosh Hashanah. Ela dekai b'chag, it must be, it was on Sukkot, v'ka'amar le b'nisan, and then from Sukkot to Nisan, that's at least 6 months, that's the most. So akate b'shita yarchei mikayalda, well, can a woman 6 months pregnancy? So what do they say? Tana ota shana meuberet haita. It was a leap year. Good lashon here. Meuberet, pregnant year, pregnant woman. Okay. It was a leap year. Sof, but then they say there's another problem. Ki mad le mar yome tuma batzrei lehu. There's a midrash that explains that Sarah, it talked about, he said, bring me bread. And he asked her for a few things, and she brought him without the bread that she said she was going to make, or that he asked her to make. So they say, why? It must be that she was persa nida, she became nida, and was mitameh the bread and couldn't bring it. So if she was tameh then, she clearly couldn't have gotten pregnant then. So you're missing a few days now. Now you're less than 7 months. So Amar Marzutra, afila lamanda amar yoledet litishai, na yoledet lemekuta'in. Here we're going to see some interesting theories they had about childbirth. They had a concept. We're going to see this. We saw it before. We're going to see it lots of times. Babies are either 7 months or 9 months. An 8th month baby is not a viable baby. Okay? The 7th month, right? Clearly we know the 7th month is when the lungs of the baby are formed, you know, are at least in a more final position. or whatever, they're more developed in a way that a baby could be sustainable. So now they're going to say this theory that if you give birth 9 months, you have to carry to full term for the baby to be viable. So she can't give birth early, but yoledet l'shiva, yoledet l'mekuta'in. Okay, if you're yoledet l'shiva, a 7th month baby can be born early. It's actually interesting. It would be against what you would think realistically, but I don't know so much about their theories. Shneamar v'yihil. Now they prove it from a pasuk. V'yihil tkufot hayamim. Okay, where is this pasuk? This is with Chana. Okay, it says v'yihil tkufot hayamim. V'tahar Chana v'tele ben. What's tkufot hayamim? Mi'ut tkufot ishtayim. Tkufot, right? You assume always the least. This comes from tafasta meruba, lo tafasta. Tafasta mu'at tafasta. So, what do you say here? Tkufot must be 2 tkufot. What's a tkufa? A season. How long are seasons? 3 months. Tkufot must mean 2 seasons past, 6 months. Umi'ut yamim, it says tkufot yamim. What's the minimum of yamim? 2 days. It must be she was 6 months and 2 days pregnant. She had the baby after 6 months and 2 days. Okay. I don't know what you do with these theories of childbirth and how we relate to them, but that's how they understand it here. Birosh Hashanah, so again, this whole theory that Yitzchak was born on Pesach has to do with the fact that they assume that Lemoed means a year, not a year later like we always understood. We always understood that they came on Pesach, right? That's why he says to make matzot, and he was born on Pesach a year later. But this Gemara goes with a different theory. There clearly were different theories going on about it. And it's interesting, our Gemara doesn't bring up that theory at all. How do we know? So here now we play a game of gezerah shava. Okay, words match up to words. Other words match up to other words. Amar Rabbi Elazar, atya pkida pkida, atya zechira zechira. We're going to learn pkida from pkida and zechira from zechira. Pkida, right, is Hashem pakad et sara. Pakad is also remembered. It's the same kind of word. K'tib b'rachel v'yizkor Elohim et Rachel. K'tib b'chana v'yizkara Hashem. By Rachel and by Chana it says zachor. Now, what do we know about Zachor? Where else does Zachor appear? Right? Zichron comes up by Rosh Hashanah because also they have Zecher. So the same root, we're going to learn that that must have happened on Rosh Hashanah. So that gives us Rachel and Chana. Now who are we missing? We're missing Sarah. So now what do we say? Pkida, pkida, k'tiv v'chana ki pakar Hashem et Chana. Right? Chana we already know, v'yizkira Hashem. That happened on Rosh Hashanah. And also said, Pakar Hashem et Chana. Uchti b'sarah v'Hashem pakar et Sarah. So just like he answered Chana on Rosh Hashanah, he must have answered Sarah on Rosh Hashanah. By the way, I just want to go back. We've talked about this also in the past, but we mentioned the other day about Datan and Aviram, right? They're always the two bad guys in the Torah. It's the same thing here. It's the same type of theory that's going on with the rabbis. They like to say that things happened historically in certain time periods. It fits with the Tisha B'Av, right? All those things happen on Tisha B'Av and on Shiva Asar B'Tammuz. And it relates, we're going to get actually now to constellations. It relates to also the theory of constellations. That there's certain times of year where things are Miyu'ad L'Purinut or Miyu'ad L'Gdula. It was a theory of theirs. And it also fits in with their theory of characters. Let's try to, you know, what do we know? We know certain times, right? Certain months, like we know Mar Cheshvan, nothing really happens then, right? We know that there's certain times of year where things happen, and lots of things happen, so they try to connect all them. So this connection of Zachor and Zachor, it all happened on Rosh Hashanah, you know, but what they're really trying to do is to connect it all and make certain times of year have more significance, I guess, than they did, or connect things to things that have something to connect to, rather than just some random date. I think it had a lot to do with the way that they, you know, the thinking in those days. It was or when you have things in the Torah that aren't so clear cut, so you want to kind of make them clear cut and connect them. Also for people in their mind, it gives Rosh Hashanah more significance if we think about all sorts of other events that happen on that day. Or we think about the whole idea is we're going to be remembered. So let's connect that. Oh, other people were remembered on this day. That helps us think about ourselves being remembered.
They undermine themselves because some of this is such a stretch. That it's like, it's almost like you wish they didn't do this. No, seriously. Right. Like, but it says Zachor in many places in the Torah. So why they picked up?
So the question is, do you have to understand this literally? Do they really believe that that was the case? or are they trying to, like I say, give more significance to Rosh Hashanah? Helping people. When you're sitting there in Rosh Hashanah and you think about Sarah and you have people to connect to, it makes it much more real. So it might not be that they're trying to understand, they're trying to have us understand it literally. It's the same way the Rambam talks about Midrash in general. The Midrash is not meant to be understood literally. Rivka was not 3 years old when she married Yitzchak. The Midrashim, anyone who believes that the Rambam says is an idiot. If you think it really happens, you're not very intelligent. So he says the idea is that you're supposed to, they're concepts. And the idea is, you know, why do we have holidays at all? Because if you focus a whole bunch, it's hard to remember every day to do everything. But if you have a time where it's all focused in that one day, you can then take strength from that to the rest of your year. So that's why I think they try to focus as much as they can into those days to kind of give it strength to allow you to have these concepts.
It's a great idea. I just wish they would feel compelled to prove it.
Right. It's written in such a way that you've... But right. But I think that really they're trying to connect it all in a more broader conceptual manner.
It's like when they connected Lincoln's birthday in Washington.
Uh-huh.
Between the two.
Right.
Made it birthday day.
Right. You could say that. Okay. It's true. No, it's a way to connect everything. Right. Okay. Yet Rosh Hashanah yatzai Yosef mi beit asurim min nalan. Dichtiv tik'u b'chodesh shofar b'kesel yom chagenu chichok l'Yisrael hu. So what do they say? The next pasuk is edut b'hosif samo. One second. I just don't remember how the nikud works there. No, it's not here. Edut. Where is it? Forgot exactly. It's Edupi Yosef Shemo B'Tzeto. Okay, so what's it talking about? When Yosef, right, got out. Yosef Shemo B'Tzeto. When he got out. So what do they say? Since they're saying that that was the day Tiku B'Chodesh Shofar was Rosh Hashanah, and then it talks about Yosef getting out, which isn't the pshat exactly, but they connect it. But these psukim are talking about it was the day of Edupi Yosef Shemo B'Tzeto that he got out. So we learn from there that Yosef got out of Beit HaAsurim. B'Rosh Hashanah b'teila avodam avotenu b'Mitzrayim. How do you know that? K'tiv hacha v'hotzeiti etchem mitachat tzivlot Mitzrayim. U'k'tiv hatam, and the psukim we just read about Yosef, it also says, hasiroti misevel shechmo. So they connect between the sevel shmo and the words, it says, edupi yosif shmo b'tzeit, right, the sevel of, right, mitachat sivlot mitzrayim, and hasiroti misevel shechmo, that it's connected. So therefore, what do they say? What's true about one was true for the other. Since he got out of Beit Asurim then, they got out of Mitzrayim then. I was actually thinking you could connect that Yosef, right, he was the whole, it started the whole Mitzrayim. And that it started with him getting out, right, the first freedom, he got out, which kind of paved the way, and then it ended with the same, right, same and Mashapatah. Benisan Nigalu, Kedi'ita, that we know. Everybody knows that. We don't need to prove it. But Tishrei Atidin Liga'el. Atye Shofar Shofar. Here's the final proof, by the way, for the theory that this article I was explaining wrote about. But Tishrei Atidin Liga'el. Atye Shofar Shofar. What do we learn? K'tiv ha'chatik u'bachode shofar b'kesel yom chagenu, right? We blow the shofar on Rosh Hashanah. U'k'tiv ha'tam b'yom ha'u yitaka b'shofar gadol. What's the gula going to be? A shofar gadol is going to be yitaka, right? And then everything's going to be perfect, right? It's like as if this momentary event is going to be, the geulah is going to happen in an instant. Rabbi Yeshua omer benisa nigalu benisa natidin ligael minayin amar kra leil shimurim leil hamishumar uba. This night is a night that's set aside, that it's going to be constantly, right? It's going to be mishumar uba misheshet yimei breshit, right? From the time of breshit, it's always been the leil hamishumar, and that's when the future geulah is going to happen. But not that it's going to be this poof. You know, it all happens, but it's a day that's designated. V'idach, what does he do with Leil HaMishumar, Leil Shimurim? Laila HaMishumar Uba Min HaMizikim. It's a night that is protected from Mizikim, but not that it's going to be a night that we're going to be redeemed in the future. Now we finally get to the Mabul. V'azdu l'ta'amayhu. They both go according to their opinion in this Braita. D'tanya b'shnat 600 shana l'chayei Noach, b'chodesh ha'sheni b'shiva'asar yom l'chodesh. Rabbi Yeshua Omer, Oto Yom Yudzayim Bi'iyar Haya, Yom Shemazal Kima Shokea Bayom, Umayonot Mit Ma'atim. Umitoch Sheshinu Ma'asehen, Shina Kadosh Baruchu Alehem, Ma'aseh Bereshit, Vehela Mazal Kima Bayom, Venatal Shnei Kochavim Mikima, Behevi Mabul La'olam. Okay, we're going to start with this opinion. We're going to end here for today. And we'll start again with it tomorrow. It says that the Mabul happened in the 600th year for Noach's life, in the second month, and the 17th day of the month. So what does Rabbi Yeshua say? That was Yud Zayin B'Iyar. Okay, he's saying the second month from Maaseh Bereishit was Iyar because it was created in Tishrei. I'm sorry, in Nisan. So now, what does he say? Chodesh Hasheni, right, he says it was Yud Zayin B'Iyar. Why? Because Mazal Kima, there's this theory about the Mazalot. Okay, you use that Gemara. So open the Gemara to the back here. There's a picture. Okay? There's Mazal Taleh and Mazal Shur. Okay? Aries and Taurus. There, in between, is a constellation of stars. There was a theory they had that the Mazalot were in a ring that went around the world. Then there were all sorts of other constellations. There was this constellation called Kima that was found in between Shur and Taleh. And every day, the mazalot are, you could see from the second picture here, I'm using the Morot Achayomi they have in the back pictures. Picture number five has the stars were in a structure, the constellations looked like certain things, and that's what the names of the mazalot came from the way they looked. So what they have is that this constellation, Kima, there was a theory that every day they rotated around the sun, so that when the sun... Right, so certain ones were around when the sun set, when the sun rose, right? They all rose at different times. So according to this theory of Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Yeshua, he says that what happened with the Mabul, normally it was a day that Kima was shokeh b'yom, and Kima was very hot. So when it was shokeh b'yom, the mayonot were mitma'atin. Okay, they would be dried up. That's why it's Iyar, right? In Iyar was the rain stopped. Why did the rain stop? Because Kima would set during the day, and as it set, it would heat the ground, and the mayonot would dry up. Umitoch sheshaninu maasehem, and because Dor Mabul changed their ways, shina hakadosh baruch hu aleihem maaseh bereishit. God flipped everything. Okay? Normally it was time where we're supposed to be dry in Iyar, and God flipped everything and showed the Dor Mabul, I'm going to make a big mess here, right? It sounds like we have it in other times. In Shmuel, when they asked for a king, also, things happened in the wrong time. V'hela mazal kima b'yom. And instead of it setting, it rose. V'natal shnei kochavim mikima. And then he took two stars from the kima constellation. And using that, hevi mabul la'olam. Okay, we're going to see now Rabbi Lezer's opinion tomorrow. We're going to start with that. And he's obviously going to say the flip side, that it happened dafka in the time. When is it going to be? Mar Cheshvan, the second month, where the rains are supposed to come. And then we're going to have to explain, well, then according to him, what was the shinoi of Maaseh Bereishit, right? It seems like it's exactly then within the lines of Maaseh Bereishit. So we'll have to explain that tomorrow.